Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study where we study the scriptures line upon line. God willing, this evening we'll cover Psalm 144, and I'm not sure if we'll get through all of 145. In fact, I didn't finish Psalm 143 last week. Pastor Gary from the UK just pointed out to me that the last couple of verses I missed, so I just want to go back, finish off Psalm 143, God willing, get through Psalm 144, and then let me just see how the time goes to see how much of Psalm 145 we get through. I'll go ahead and open with prayer, then I'll check the chat just to make sure that I am coming through loudly and clearly. Our Heavenly Father, great God Almighty, we are so privileged that there are so many billions of people on this planet at this time. There is so much anxiety on the planet at this time. There is such darkness sweeping over the earth at this time. And we have this high privilege, this honor of being able to open these ancient texts, to study them together, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our shepherd. We thank you so much, Father, for sending him. We thank you for the mission that you and Christ have with respect to your covenant, and we thank you for grafting us in. We praise you, Lord God, and we ask for your help and your strength in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So let me just check the messages. I see Carlotta is with us. David is here. Brother David, thank you so much. Wow, that's amazing. We rely on God, on Christ, and we're just his servants, and God is always going to provide for us what we need, but certainly appreciate your sentiment there, Brother David. Sister Jacinta, welcome. Brother Pastor Murray is here. Julie and Joe are with us. Sister Velma, wonderful to have you. Beautiful. And everyone else, I know not everybody is making themselves known in the chat, but we're certainly happy and grateful and blessed that you are here with us. Let's go ahead then and get into tonight's study. I'll share my screen. And we will just finish off with Psalm 143. Let me just pump up the font a little bit. He says here, just finishing off Psalm 143, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. And in fact, this is a theme that's going to carry over into Psalm 144 and 145. And I should mention 145 actually sort of closes out formally the Psalter, and then we have the final five Psalms, which many believe have been added on to just sort of round out the book five. But Psalm 143 and 145 are sort of the formal end to the Psaltery book five. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto you to hide me. And so very clearly we can see these enemies are overwhelming. These enemies are not something that the king just feels like he can just take care of them himself. He's fleeing to God as his refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And we can certainly empathize, and we can pray this prayer as well, that we need to be able to do God's will as we head into these very, very, very dark days. It's going to get darker before Christ returns, but we have to have confidence. We need to be able to go into these days on the offensive, as Pastor Murray, as Pastor Murray said in his sermon a few weeks back. This is an offensive gospel, and it is through the preaching of God's word. These are the weapons of our warfare. It's all about the mind, and this is a battle for the mind. And we need to be able to speak to God's people and strengthen God's people. But then God's people as a whole, we need to be able to evangelize. We need to be able to preach this gospel and not back down and not apologize. And just make sure that to our extent, to the extent possible that we can, we are not backing down from the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And this covenant that we're a part of involves land. We're not leaving to go to heaven. This covenant involves land. And God is coming to the earth. And we are going to occupy the land. And we need to be very, very clear about that. Quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake. And this is just a theme that we have to be very sensitive to. God is acting according to his name. We must preach according to his name. We need to understand that his mercy is according to his name, and pray accordingly. Quicken me, bring me to life, O Lord, for your name's sake, not for my righteousness, but for your name's sake. We're doing your will. We're acting according to your will. Bring us to life. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And again, it's not for our righteousness. And of your mercy, cut off my enemies. And this, we have to be very, very clear. David was very clear that the world is being divided into two camps. Those who believe and trust God and those who don't. And those who don't are being hijacked by the devil to hate God and hate those who follow God. And David is very clear that he wants these enemies, they are overwhelmingly powerful. And he wants God to cut them off and destroy all them that afflict my soul. He preaches or prays, sorry, as the king of Israel. And having enemies that are afflicting his soul, knowing he's in God's will as the king of Israel. And we are kings. We are priests. And we walk in God's will. And yet we have enemies that choose deliberately to afflict our souls. And so, yes, we do pray for God's mercy on mankind, and we're going to do our part to preach the gospel and make it known. But at the same time, we pray according to God's will, which is revealed in Torah, which says that God will destroy the wicked. And I can't apologize for that. That is God's will and his intent to destroy the wicked. And to that I say amen. That we can look forward to a future, an eternal future, where the wicked are no more. Amen to that. And destroy all them that afflict my soul. Why? For I am your servant. And this is, again, another theme that's going to carry forward into Psalm 144, that David is God's servant. And those who are opposing him are the enemies of God. And we can, again, see that and apply that to our own lives. Psalm 144, a psalm of David. So again, these are eight psalms in this psaltery that are ascribed directly to David. So the psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. God is his strength. God is our strength. If we're going to do this on our own strength, we're not going to get very far. And this is what the wicked don't understand, why they cannot defeat us, is we operate on God's strength. Blessed be the Lord, Jehovah, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now, what exactly that means, that he teaches his fingers, the Lord teaches David's hands to war, definitely, but his fingers to fight. Now, I remember studying martial arts as a young man and learning how to do some terrible things with our fingers, surprising things that the combatant wouldn't realize how we can defend ourselves. But I don't think that David here is speaking so much of, martial arts. It could be. It could be archery, that the precision with which he can shoot a bow, an arrow, could be with a bow, could be that, or it could just be poetry. It could be figurative language, that God teaches him down to the detail of how to fight. And I think this is also important to us, that to understand we are in a fight. This is a fight. It's not a physical fight for us, but it is a spiritual battle. And it is a conflict of philosophies, which have significant consequences. These philosophies have children called behavior. And as these philosophies inject themselves into mankind, there is behavior that follows. So the times that this is 2023, early 2023, for the sake of the archive, this is a different decade. This is a different millennium than just a few years ago, a couple of decades ago. It was a different world. And now globally, all over the world, human beings are changing. And even in the body of Christ, Christians, brethren, are changing. And this is all the battle around philosophy. What are the ideas that get into our heads? What are the ideas that get into the minds of the simple? What is it that the mass media is doing? What is the constant messaging in social media? And what are people imbibing? What are they digesting inwardly? And how is it affecting their behavior? This is the battle we're in. And this is the awareness that we have to protect our minds, to see things clearly and biblically. And this is why my brothers, Pastor Murray and Deacon Jan, and I are doing this weekly podcast now. Hopefully you're able to join us on that. Keeping watch. Just to be aware, and we kind of got this idea because of some of the things that have happened in the past, some of the events that have happened in the past, and to see brethren go headlong with the world, with enthusiasm, embracing devilish concepts in the Church of God. And so we said, you know, if we can sort of get out ahead of this and see things as they happen and declare them for what they are, then hopefully brethren can then say, oh, well, let me look into that. Because sometimes we don't know, how do I process this? What is this? I've never seen anything like this before. Is it in the Bible? How do I process this? So this is the intent behind Keeping Watch. And I should have mentioned at the outset, actually, just a quick announcement, that when we were speaking as a congregation this past Sabbath, one of the brethren mentioned that, you know, we have a lot of brethren who we're getting to know virtually, but that we've actually never met. And so we were planning an upcoming social at the end of the month for our Burlington congregation. And then somebody suggested, well, what if we made part of that virtual, just a social on Zoom where we opened it up and allowed these brethren who we are getting to know just to Zoom in. And maybe we spend half an hour together virtually before we go on to our local social. So if you're interested in that, maybe just go ahead and type in the chat for us to say that that's something that you would be interested in. If not, no problem. We'll just have our local social. But I just want you to know that some of the brethren here locally would love to meet you. And we would love to meet you and kind of put a name to a face. So just let us know in the chat there, and we'll check that afterward. So so keeping watch, the idea was we're in a fight. It's a spiritual fight, and it's a philosophical fight. And we cannot have pastors who are asleep at the switch. We cannot have pastors who are pretending this is normal, that the times we're in are normal. This is not normal. This is not normal. And it's time for us to speak out, because the window is closing. And when it's closed, now we stand before Christ. And did we declare him with confidence, with faith, or were we shy? And were we just hoping that the trouble would pass over and that this is just, we're just going to return to normal? And so we didn't really declare Christ, and we didn't call things out for what they are. We're in a battle, and we need all of us, all hands on deck. So he says that the Lord teaches his hands to war and his fingers to fight, down to the detail. And this is now, this psalm really goes well. It couples with Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is in the archive. Would be good to just sort of review Psalm 18. I won't go into detail with Psalm 18 here because it is in the archive. But in Psalm 18 and verse 2, he says, the Lord is my rock. So here there's this deep realization that God is the one who makes us successful. And I really don't know. I have no idea how the atheist, how the ungodly navigate this world. I'm at a loss. But we do know suicide rates are skyrocketing. Depression is skyrocketing. So maybe they're not navigating the world so well. But we can, because we know that God is our rock. He says here, the Lord is my rock. He says, sorry, in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Brethren, this is who we can trust. It's a crazy time. The wicked, the imagination of the wicked has gone wild, and they believe that they are unstoppable. And they are crushing everybody in their sight. If you look at what's happening in Brazil, the poor Brazilians who are just trying to say, like, we thought we were in a democracy, and they're just being crushed. And then we have the media pretending it's not happening and trying to fool us. So as nation by nation, they can just destroy citizens as we become part of this global citizenship, which basically means we are no longer citizens. Global citizenry means you're nothing. And that's where we're heading, into oblivion, into Noah Harari call us, useless eaters. What do you do with useless eaters? Well, that's the future that awaits mankind by these wicked elite. And again, I don't know how people who don't believe in Christ, how they navigate this, but we believe in Christ. As David is declaring here, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And again, that's in the archive, Psalm 18. But here in 2 Samuel 22 and verses 1 and 2 and verse 35, David says, and David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So immediately upon victory, he celebrates his victory by praising the Lord in song, because he's very clear where his victory came from. And we must be very clear where our victory, where our success is coming from. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. And then dropping down to verse 35, he teaches my hand to war. David was a fighter. We better be fighters. We can't sit this out. Oh, you know, I think I'll just sit on the sidelines here. No. That's not an option. That's not an option. We need to be studying the scriptures, and we need to be ready. Give an answer for the hope that lies within us. To do battle with the sword of the Spirit because of our study. And when they come with their deception, we can say, no, the Bible says no such thing. You're misquoting the Bible. You're not understanding it's rooted in Torah. Let's go back to the Torah and get the foundation, and then let's go from there. And they're not ready for this. So he teaches my hands to war. For the spiritual warrior, this means we're doing our study so that we can go into spiritual battle with the Word of God. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. And we will say, so that the strongholds of the devil, we pull them down with our hands, with our spiritual hands. And that is, as the people of God, the covenant community, we know God's truth. We know the Word of God, and we can bring down these shameful strongholds of the devil. Because the world is deceived. They have no idea. They're clueless. They're soaking up the media and the messaging of the media, and we're not buying it. So David was a physical warrior, but he a king and a physical warrior. We are kings and spiritual warriors. Back to Psalm 144, verse 2. My goodness, this is describing God. He's my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield. And I've got to commend our brother, Pastor Jeff. He did the opening, the introduction for Psalms. He does the introductions for these studies. Nailed it. I love the introduction that he's created for Psalms. And this is really the theme of Psalms. And that's what these Psalms now, as we bring the Psaltery to a close, to sort of bringing together the theme of the entire Psaltery. God is my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. Again, where is our trust? Where do we place our trust? David is consistent. It's in God, who subdues my people under me. And that's really interesting language. So, of course, he's the king, but the people did not come willingly and happily to come under David. But God subdued them for him and brought them under him. And you know, brethren, in your walk with Christ, maybe you've had some conflict. Maybe you've had brethren who've tried to destroy you. It's not out of the realm of possibility. I could talk for hours about my own experience. But God knows who are his. And if you look at this, the story of the Bible, you know, men like Joseph, who were subjugated and abused and put down, but God was with them and brought him to his rightful position. And so don't be discouraged, brethren, by persecution in, outside or inside the community of God. Because God is acting. He's always acting. He's patient. He doesn't move very quickly according to our schedule, but he's constant and he's always moving. Now, as David reflects on what the Lord has done for him, he says, Jehovah, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you make account of him? It's kind of hard to understand when David sees how much God has done for him. It's mind-boggling. I'm like an ant on earth. When I consider the universe and all that God does, why is he taking note of us? It's a fair question. And it's in fact a question that was repeated by the apostle in Hebrews 2 and verse 6. He says, but one in a certain place, he's referring to David, testified saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? It is puzzling. And the atheists cannot answer this because they don't see God's hand in the world or in their lives. This invisible God, this God who hides himself, he hides his face from Jacob. Where is he? What's going on? Why is there so much evil in the world if there's a God? All these questions. But if we study scripture, we can quickly come to understand. And then our minds are just blown away because we realize the God of the universe is actually mindful of us. If you're here studying with me right now and brethren around the world, God is over us. He cares for us. He knows the pain that you're feeling. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he cares for you. And he cares for me. And it's mind-boggling. And David was just blown away by this. Goes on to say, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. He almost sounds like his son Solomon, as Solomon just observed how the world works. And he just realized vanity, all is vanity. And he sees men born and they die and they come to glory and then they're old and decrepit and they die. And it's like, what is this? What is going on? His days are as a shadow that passes away. Job came to the same realization, albeit with a different attitude. Job says, man that is born of a woman is of few days. So he just sees them come and go, born and die, and full of trouble. So even the time they have, it's a time of trouble. When I remember studying in high school, Oedipus Rex, and at the end of the book, one of the people say, I guess it's a philosophical statement, call no man happy until the end of his days. So everything will be going well. And then there's that final chapter and it's a tragedy. And this is what these men are observing. This is a difficult life. He says, this is Job. He's a few days. And by the way, he says he's born of a woman. So every human being that's on the planet that's ever lived, except for Adam, is born of a woman. Hello? any biologists out there? Can we get some common sense in people? They've gone insane. but man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower. Beautiful. Wow. My mother just celebrated her 85th birthday, and my children bought some beautiful flowers. And like, wow, they were gorgeous. But they're just for a few days. It's a beautiful in the moment, but they're not going to last. And Job is saying, that's what man is like. You see these men and they're just wonderful, beautiful to look at, powerful. Yeah, for a few days. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He flees also as a shadow. Exactly what David said. David said his days are as a shadow. Job says he flees also as a shadow and continues not. Now, David is making these observations while at the same time saying, well, because of all of this, Lord, why do you take note of me? Whereas Job was saying it, you know, because of all of this, God is unfair. But either way, they did observe, and Solomon as well observed, that the vanity of this human life. Back to Psalm 144 and verse 5. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Send your hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. That is Gentile children, foreigners, who don't have the value system of Torah, who are by default subject to the influence of the devil and the hatred of God's people. And so he says, deliver me out of great waters from the hand of these foreign, strange children. Revelation 12, speaking of Judah specifically, says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. The woman is Judah. That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And that's in the archive, Revelation 12. I won't go into the detail here. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So this prayer of David, where he says, deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. This is our prayer for Judah in the future, that these strange children are going to surround Jerusalem. Their objective is to destroy the covenant people. And we must pray for the deliverance of the covenant people according to God's will. He says in chapter 17 and verse 15, and he says unto me, the waters which you saw where the horse sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So if we combine this understanding of Revelation 17 with Psalm 144, to deliver out of great waters from the hand of strange children, in the future, these great waters are all the people that have given themselves over to Antichrist. And we see just how easy it is for human beings to believe in fables, to be manipulated, and to follow Antichrist. Can you believe that adults are no longer able to define what a woman is? These are adult human beings. This is where we are now. And so you can just see how easily mankind will follow the beast. He says, back to Psalm 144, so these waters that we need deliverance from are these strange children of the stranger, strange children, foreigners. Psalm 144, verse 8, whose mouth speaks vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Amen to that. We just talked about, can't even define what a woman is. This is all falsehood and vanity. And this is what comes out of their mouth. This is the philosophy that comes out of their mouth that people are accepting. He says, or just to tie this back into Revelation again, regarding this mouth that speaks vanity, Revelation 13, verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And that's what we're seeing. That's the setup that we're seeing now. It's like the chessboard. You know, there's this chessboard at play. And the masters are playing. And one master leans back and says, mate in three. And the other has to look at the board and like kind of really like pay attention and say, is there any way out of this? And then they realize, okay, we can just move the pieces around, but the game is over. And now what we're seeing now is we're getting close to that declaration of the Antichrist, mate in three, where he'll prevail over the saints. Well, that's where we're heading. He says that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And our names, brethren, are in that book. And we need to keep them in that book. And whatever we have to go through, let's go through it. Let's just go through it. Because it's just this world. It's just this world which is passing away. Back to Psalm 144 and verse 9. He says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto you. And again, think of this as philosophy. These songs that were written thousands of years ago, we're still studying them today and trying to understand, what did David understand? And the people who worshiped with him as they sang these songs, it shaped their thinking. It shaped their belief, and therefore it shaped their behavior. And so this is how David celebrated his success because of God, by praising him in song. And we have, you know, we have some beautiful singers in the community, and they have this ability to stir the hearts as we listen to the words, and we're moved by the music and the beauty of the human voice. This is, I wish I had that ability. I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's very uplifting. He goes on in verse 10. It is he that gives salvation unto kings. So David knew that he could not save himself. God is the one who gives salvation unto kings. He says, who delivers David his servant. And again, we saw in Psalm 143 that David understood, I am your servant. And now he's reinforcing that here in Psalm 144, that God is the one who delivered David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. That could have been we might never have known of David. David could have been murdered. He could have been slaughtered. He had an overwhelming force against him. And yet God is the one, because of God's will, because of his covenant, God is the one that delivered David. And God is the one that will deliver you, deliver me. These are, you know, words fail me. We're in trouble. We are in trouble, but only on the surface and only for a little period of time. And then we have this eternal life in Christ with each other. Now, there'll be no such thing as death. We'll be here talking and fellowshipping and praising and worshiping God and having all kinds of achievements and accomplishments and shepherding the people of God. And the concept of death will be a foreign concept. People don't die. And there's no such thing as evil. That's where we're headed. We just have to remain absolutely confident in Christ. No matter what happens on the surface, we walk by faith, not by sight. He says, it is he that gives salvation unto kings, who delivers David his servant, from the hurtful sword. This salvation unto kings, if we fast forward to Revelation chapter 21, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of Jerusalem. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. Kings will have salvation and they will worship God, but they will worship him through the covenant community. Psalm 144, verse 11, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaks vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Twice in one psalm, that this really matters to David, that this is who they are. They are strange children, foreigners, and they speak vanity. They believe they are gods on earth. And their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. They are full of deception. They are full of evil. That's who they are. That's what they do. You know, this whole, I'm becoming increasingly concerned about this digital world. They're actually building a parallel world. Actually, I'm aware of technologies that they're using to digitize everything. That your home, my home, the roads, everything will be represented, even the trees will be represented in a digital model. And then within that digital model, they're creating the ability for us to exist inside the digital world. And if you look at some of the artificial intelligence, which I've been exploring, it is absolutely amazing. I'm not doing it. I'm not playing with this. I'm just observing what they can do. But with this digital technology, I can upload my own image and I can upload my own voice. And then I can make my image say whatever I want. It looks like me and it sounds like me and it says whatever I type in to say, make it say this. It says it with my voice. It says, if you train it, give it an hour's worth of your voice, just reading text for an hour, then it understands your cadence and your accent and everything. And then give it words to say and give it your avatar. So I don't know where this is going, but it's not to a good place. The heart of man is evil. Fully set on to do evil. And God cut this off at the Tower of Babel before it went too far. But this time he's allowing it to culminate. And then he'll step in. But it's, you know, this is sort of the matrix that they want us locked in our home and existing digitally. And we've got to resist this. We've got to understand this is not good. Let me stop because it's not a good place where we're heading. And we need to see this. He says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaks vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. This is just so perfect. The perfect prayer for us. Upon whom the ends of the world have come. That our sons, so deliver us so that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And that really is God's will for us to reproduce, made in his image, made in his likeness, and to reproduce. The agenda of the wicked is to stop all reproduction. That's why there's this push for homosexuality, for pedophilia, for gender mutilation, for, you know, the whole vaccination, which destroys the reproductive organs. Satan wants to destroy human reproduction. But God's intent is that his family just grows and grows and that it's blessed. That our sons and our daughters are blessed. So he will deliver us and our families will be blessed. And here in speaking of the children of Jacob, Isaiah says, and again, this is in the archive, but just for the sake of linking it to the psalm, he says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. God hasn't chosen anybody else. He's chosen Israel. Thus says Jehovah, that made you and formed you from the womb. which will help you. So the time of Jacob's trouble is coming, but God promises he will help Jacob through that time of tribulation. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Again, we explained all of this in the archive. So Isaiah 44 is in the archive. We explained all of that. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. So, yes, it's going to be difficult. It's a time of trouble, the likes of which the world has never seen. But God says he's going to deliver. I will pour my spirit upon your seed. And we see that in Joel, this prophecy, Joel 2. And my blessing upon your offspring. This is God's intent. This is the opposite of what we see today. The devil wants to destroy reproduction. God wants Jacob to reproduce, and he wants to bless Jacob's offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. So now it's becoming increasingly difficult to have any association with Christ, with the covenant community, with Judah. But the time is coming when our children will be proud to say, I am Jehovah's. They'll be proud to say, oh, I'm a son of Israel. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. This is so the glory of Israel is coming. Right now we're going through the shame of Israel, but the glory of Israel is coming. And so I just wanted to bring that out because of Psalm 144, verse 12, that this is David's prayer to rid us of the enemy, this strange children that don't understand covenant and are persecuting us, so that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth and our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, so that our daughters can just be truly glorious. Psalm 144, verse 13, continuing to rid us of these oppressors, these Egyptian oppressors. Why? That our garners, that's our storehouses of wheat, they're destroying the food supply now. They're destroying the agricultural industry. They want to feed us crickets and worms and the larvae of flies. That's what they want human beings to eat. But rid us of these strange children, that our storehouses may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in our streets. So this is the millennium. This is the future we're heading into. And all of Satan's plans are going to collapse. That our oxen may be strong to labor. This is not digital world. Hey, let's just live digitally and forget the real world. No, let's come back to the real world. And real work has to be done in the real world. And so in the millennium, we're going to see Judah blessed with oxen, strong to labor. That there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Blessed is that people. Amen. And we have to preach the gospel and tell Judah, this is what awaits you. Walk by faith, not by sight. Blessed is that people. That is in such a case, yes. Happy is that people whose God is Jehovah. And again, we preach the gospel according to his name, understanding all that that entails. And blessed are those people who surname themselves after Jacob and Israel, who know that they are sons of Jehovah. And this is very much what David is praying here, very much from Torah. David understands Torah. And this is exactly what Moses promised. So all the prophets, and I've said this before, all the prophets, none of them contradict Moses, unless they're a false prophet, making up a false religion. But any true prophet of God agrees with Moses, amplifies Moses, magnifies Moses, gives the 3D version of what Moses was saying, gives us more texture and color in Moses. And so David here is praying according to Torah. And in Deuteronomy 28, we're just a little snippet to see, this is the blessing of, of the obedience of the covenant people that David is praying for. He says, you know, blessed is that people whose God is the Lord. Okay, yeah, whose God is the Lord? Now, let's find out about that blessing to those people whose God is the Lord, because it's in Torah. Torah says, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 5, and again, we can read all of Deuteronomy 28 and 29. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. That's what David was praying for. But that's a consequence of being faithful to the covenant. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. That's exactly what David was praying, that there be no breaking in or going out, that they'd be blessed, that everything would be controlled and protected by God. He says, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you. These are these strange children. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses. Again, that's what David was praying, that the storehouses would be blessed. And in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God shall give you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. That's his oath. That's his promise. He's going to do it. If you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Jehovah. So this is how we preach the gospel, and we will be hated of all nations for his name's sake, because there's something we understand that they do not want to accept, but it's the will of God, and it's in Torah and amplified by all the prophets. And they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in your goods. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. This is, as David said, blessed is this people whose God is the Lord. And then in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 28 and 29, he says, Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto you, O people saved by the Lord? This is David's understanding. Who is like this people that have been saved by Jehovah according to his name, for his name's sake? The shield of your help. And who is the sword of your excellency? And your enemies shall be found liars unto you, and you shall tread upon their high places. So that was Psalm 144. Powerful, powerful psalm. We won't go into Psalm 145. It's a big psalm. It's actually an acrostic. So one of the commentators on this was saying that by using every letter of the alphabet, he said, and this is sort of the concluding psalm to the psaltery before we get into the final five, which is just, I believe, the scribes added those on. He says, while it's impossible to praise God with every word in the language, by making this an acrostic and using every letter of the alphabet, the potential is there to use every word in the language to praise God. So Psalm 145 is an acrostic. It's a psalm of David. And I think just in the interest of time, let us end there. And God willing, we'll pick up Psalm 145 next week. And I'll speak with Pastor Murray. We'll see the level of interest regarding the virtual social, just to make sure we can connect with those of you out there that we've gotten to know over time. And with that, brethren, we'll conclude today. God bless you. Excuse me. Should end now as my voice goes. Jesus is Lord.